Did you guys rode in today, huh? Nice. Nice.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. This is very unusual for me. Usually the place fills up from back to front. And today, you're like all sitting right up. Okay, this is interesting. All right. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for a long, long time, somewhere up there. Do we have that greeting up there someplace? Oh, there it is. The Lord be with you. Thanks. So we're going to sing some songs. We're going to listen to God's word together. We're going to celebrate communion. We're going to take some time during the service just to listen for God speaking. You know what? As we begin, could we bow our heads for a moment? Let's pray for just a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you for the great love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks to today, we have this chance to come together to listen for you, to be reminded of your love. I pray, God, that you'd help us to have our hearts and minds open to you, to your spirit, to what you want to say to us. And God, I pray you'd help us to be willing to talk to you as well, to share with you the pain or the confusion or the grief or the guilt or whatever we're going through, God. I pray that you would help us to just lay that all at your feet and let you heal us, comfort us, encourage us, bless us, forgive us. Thank you, God. Thank you. Receive our praise this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, if you're interested, let's stand and let's sing.
I'd like to read from Psalm 86, verses 7 through 10. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. No pagan god is like you, O Lord. None can do what you do. All the nations you made will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your holy name. For you are great and perform wonderful deeds. You alone are God.
You bow your heads with me. God, we thank you for the transformation that you bring when we invite you in, when we allow you to change us from the inside out. God, your love is so unbelievably amazing. That you, the God of all creation, would see us and love us. That you would love us enough that when we were stuck in our sin, you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and by his death and resurrection set us free. That you, God, would give us yourself in pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us. That you would meet us in times like this and offer us grace and offer us healing, offer us comfort and challenge and joy and peace and hope. That you would offer us yourself, God, is amazing to us. So, God, we do lift you up. We exalt you. We praise you. We recognize that you are God. Thank you. Thank you for your great mercy and your great love. Speak to us today, God. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. You know, God, that we come into this place from all sorts of different places. We've had all sorts of different weeks and months and years, and God, today we need to know. We need to know that you're there. We need to know that you love us. So please, God, would you speak to our hearts today? Thank you, God. Thank you that we can be confident in your love because you've shown it to us so clearly in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we gather to worship you. It's because of him that we have hope. It's because of him that we have confidence in offering this prayer to you. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Thanks. Thank you. Let's extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Introduce yourself to somebody. We've got folks with us for the first time today. All right. I don't usually stand up here, but you guys are crowding me, so I feel like I got to scoot back a little bit. So, And everybody get one of these on your way in, a little welcome bulletin. Lets you know what's going on around here these days. If you didn't get one, there's more out there in the foyer. As well as, of course, there's more snacks and things like that. Inside there, besides information on things coming up, there's a little green welcome card that I'm dropping. If you can hold on to yours and fill it out, then share with us a way that we could be praying for you, or if there's something you'd like more information about, maybe you've got a question about the church, anything you want to write on there is great. Just make sure it gets to me by putting it in the offering box back by the door. There's an offering box on your way out, and if you stick your welcome card in the offering box, then it'll get to me tomorrow, and I'll be able to get back to you with answers to your questions, hopefully, or anything of the sort. Let's see, where did it all go? Okay, here we go. So there are a few things in here I just wanted to mention. One of them is happening this Saturday. We're going to have a concert here. Now, it's the teens that are putting this concert on, or they're hosting it, I should say. They're bringing in a couple of bands, Flight 1050 and what was it again? Greed the something? The Creature. Okay. I don't know that group, really, but Flight 1050 actually has somebody in it who had gone here when she was a little kid. Julia Dalton is in that group. And anyway, so they're going to be here making loud music on Saturday. You're all invited to come. If you'd like, they're doing it as a fundraiser. It's a free concert with donations are requested, accepted, whatever the right word is for that. Because the teens here are doing this 30-hour famine. They're doing that at the beginning of August. And what that is for 30 hours that weekend, they're going to go without food, I think. Are they without food for a whole 30? Okay. They're going to go without food for those 30 hours as a way partly to fast and pray, partly to identify with people around the world who experience hunger. And so what they're each trying to do, the teens, the reason they're raising funds, it's not so they can throw a big party for their 30-hour famine. They're trying to raise money so that they can sponsor a child through Compassion International and help that kid not experience hunger for a year. You know, so they're gonna try to sponsor a child through Compassion International through this 30-hour famine. It's a really good cause. I know I had somebody ask in the first service, what if I don't want to come to the concert, I just want to make a donation? You can do that, just write 30-hour famine on the envelope or something, make it out to the church and write somewhere on it 30-hour famine or anything closely related to that, we'll figure it out and we'll give it to them, we'll help them to sponsor that kid. They're also doing another fundraiser 2 weeks later, July 27th, they're doing another kid watching night. They did one, was that 2 weeks ago? I'm trying to remember. And they, at the end of the night, they still had all the kids they had at the beginning of the night. It was a good thing. So those who dropped off children got their children back safe and whole. So if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to take advantage of that, they're basically babysitting kids here at the church. So if you'd like to drop your kids off and go have dinner or drop your kids off and just go home and enjoy the quiet or whatever it is you need to do, they'll be happy to watch your kids in exchange for some donation, again, toward that 30-hour famine project. There are probably some other things in here. You can read those on your own. And prayer requests on the back, ways that we can be praying for each other. And then also there's some notes in there. I'd like for us for the month of July to kind of dig into this theme together of listening to God's voice. I know sometimes we go through life, and if you haven't questioned it, then you've got friends that have questioned it. Is there really a God there? Is God even real? Does he care? Is he watching? Does he care what I'm going through? And most of us have gone through some kind of those kinds of questions at some point in our lives. And, is this a God? If there's a God up there, does he ever reach out to us? And we believe that, yes, definitely God is reaching out to us. In fact, God has been reaching out to us over and over and over again from the beginning of creation. And so we're gonna focus in for this Sunday and the next three on how do I listen for God's voice? How do I know when it's God speaking? What do I do with that when I feel like God has said something to me? How do I know it's God and not just the pizza I ate last night? We're going to dig into some of those kinds of things because we do believe that God is real. We do believe that God cares. And I believe that God is speaking to each one of us. God doesn't just talk to pastors. God doesn't just talk to people that you see on TV. I don't know if God talks to them at all. I don't have any idea. But I do believe that God talks to each one of us. I believe that God wants to speak into your life, to encourage you, to challenge you, to guide you. Now, from the very beginning of this book we call the Bible, God has been speaking. In fact, Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning, when it says God created the universe, it says he did that by speaking to it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That was the very beginning of it. And then he says, and let there be this, and let there be that. Let's have some water. Let's have the water all get in one place and make an ocean, and there'll be dry ground over here, and it does it. You know, God speaks to creation and it responds. He says, let's have some plants grow up out of the dry ground. And they do. God speaks and creation responds. And then once God has created us, God continues to speak. He speaks to us. He says there in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you're sure to die. So God, from the very start of speaking to us as humanity, is guiding us, is helping us to know where the boundaries are, is saying, look, I've provided all of this for your enjoyment. Eat freely from any of these trees. Just don't eat from that tree. You know, that one will kill you. So eat from all of these, but don't eat from that one. And so God is providing for us. He's generously reaching out to us. He is, out of love, warning us to avoid danger. Well, of course, we all know what happens when you tell somebody, hey, don't touch that, right? We want to touch that. And right there in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3, we see that there's a competing voice that already enters into the picture. There's God's voice speaking to us, and then there's another voice. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, one day the serpent asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Now, is that what God said? Anybody? No? Yes? No? No. That's not what God said. I was just looking for a little, paying attention here. Okay. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And the woman replies, well, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you'll die. Now, hang on a second. Is that what God said? No. She added something there, didn't she? She added this little touch it thing. You know, God didn't say anything about touching the fruit. You can touch it all you want, I guess. You know, roll around in it, but just don't eat it. You know, he said, don't eat the fruit from that tree. So somewhere along the line, there was some kind of an attention problem taking place. Now, if you're paying attention, you notice in Genesis 2, it said God said to the man, you know, don't eat this stuff. And now we're talking about the woman. In the story, as it was played out, God creates Adam and gives him these instructions. And then he's like, oh, the guy's alone. That's not good. And so he ends up making Eve. And apparently, I don't know if God repeated that later to Eve or if Adam passed the word along to Eve and he got it wrong. He wasn't paying attention very well when God was talking. I'm guessing that's the more likely scenario because, okay, I don't have to explain. But at some point, there was an attention problem. And so she knows something, you know, I'm not supposed to eat that, not supposed to touch it. Well, the serpent replies, oh, you won't die, and goes on to say, God's lying to you. You won't die. You'll just know good and evil. You'll be like God. He doesn't want the competition. He wants to keep you down. And the woman is convinced. She's got two different voices. She's got the voice of God, the God who loves her, created her. Them. Adam and Eve, because then it sounds like she just turns to Adam and gives him the fruit like he's standing right there. So they've got the voice of God who loves them, who's provided all of this for them, who's given them life, who's lovingly warned them about dangers. They've got this voice, and then they've got a snake who says, ah, come on, it'll be good. And they listen to the wrong voice. Now, I'm sure today we look back at that and we're like, seriously, guys? A snake. God or a snake? And you listen to the snake. I mean, sure, maybe if it was like a unicorn or something that told you to do it, maybe then, but a snake? Come on, guys. But I have to think, I mean, I don't believe that that Genesis is just some kind of a history of where we came from. I believe Genesis is a story of us today. I mean, Genesis tells stories of the human condition today, which this is true for all of us, isn't it? I mean, we have competing voices. God's voice isn't the only voice speaking to you and saying, this is what's good about life, this is who you are, this is how you ought to live, right? I mean, that's one voice, but aren't there lots and lots of other voices? Some of those voices echo what God says and encourage us in a good way. Some of those voices go in the total opposite direction and would distract us from what God says or would try to twist what God says or would try to tell us, you don't need to listen to him. He's just trying to keep you down. And there's all kinds of competing voices for our attention. There's all kinds of voices telling us who we are, how we're to live, who God is, what the meaning of life is. There's all kinds of different voices out there. And so often we choose the wrong voice. So often we trust the wrong person. We respond to a snake. Maybe for us it's not a snake. Maybe for you it's a friend. Maybe for you it's a spouse. Maybe for you it's a coworker. It's a neighbor, a classmate. It's a, who knows? It's somebody, you've got the voice of God saying, here's who you are. Here's how we're to live. And then you got this other voice, and so often we believe the wrong voice. I have to think that just like we look at Adam and Eve and say, oh, come on, guys, wasn't it obvious? Boy, it's probably somebody looking at our life from the outside and saying, oh, come on, Rich, that's obvious. You've got the God who loves you, who gave his son Jesus for you, who's written, you know, done all this for you, and instead of listening to him, you listen to that guy? He's an idiot. Why'd you listen to him? Come on, Rich. What? But so often we do it. So often we listen to the other voices instead of listening to God's voice. They chose the wrong voice, and the repercussions have echoed down to this very day. I mean, we continue to suffer the consequences of listening to the wrong voice, of disobeying God, and we continue the pattern today. Now, they were one example. Now, and fortunately, God didn't just then, after that, say, ah, you listened to the wrong voice, you disobeyed me, well, forget you, and, you know, kick them. You know, he doesn't do that. I mean, God comes looking for them, and God, even as he spells out the consequences to him, you can read all this for yourself if you want, Genesis 3 and 4. As he spells out the consequences, God still provides for them. Even though they can't live in the Garden of Eden anymore, he shelters them, he provides for them, and he begins to put in place his plan to redeem and to restore them. That plan culminates in the sending of his son, Jesus Christ, who sets a very different example for us. We have that example there. I put it in your notes from Matthew chapter 4. Is this episode where Jesus has another voice speaking to him. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Of course he's hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, fasting is a good thing. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a kind of this practice of not filling ourselves so much with other stuff that we can't hear God. It's like making room in ourselves, a physical, spiritual kind of a practice that's been practiced for millennia. So he's making room in his life to hear from God. But of course, that means he's hungry. And so during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Makes sense. You're hungry. You got the power of God at your disposal. You could just go, boom, Twinkie, and have it, you know. Tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus says, no, no, no. The scriptures say, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he quotes from Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament. He says, look, I know I'm hungry, and I know I'm going to need some bread eventually, but I'm right now I'm feasting on the words that my Father is speaking. I'm listening to my Father's voice. I'll get bread later. Don't live on bread alone. So then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, well, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, you like scripture? Okay, I've got one. The scriptures say, he'll order his angels to protect you and they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. He quotes scriptures to him and says, look, God has promised to protect you, so why don't you just jump off here at the temple and God's going to catch you. He promised he will. And boy, when that happens, won't that be something? Boy, you'll be on the front page of tomorrow's Jerusalem Times because, you know, everyone down there who's worshiping will see you be caught by God, by the angels coming and catching you, and they'll know there's something special about you. Then they'll be listening to your message. Then they'll know you're the Son of God. But Jesus responded, okay, the scripture, yeah, that's the Bible, but you're reading it wrong there, devil. You're twisting it. The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I'll give it all to you, he said, if you'll kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. So Jesus has a very similar kind of moment, doesn't he? Where he's got competing voices. He's heard the voice of his Father. He spent time getting alone, listening to his Father's voice. He clearly has studied the scriptures. He didn't have to go and pull out his smartphone and say, "Let me. I know there's a verse about that somewhere. Let me look this up in the Bible app here." You know, he's studied the scriptures. He knows what his Father has told him. He's been paying attention. He doesn't seem to struggle like Adam and Eve did to get it right. He knows what the scriptures say. He knows what his Father has said to him. And in that moment of temptation, when that competing voice comes, Jesus says, look, I'm not going to listen to you over my Father. I know my Father said. I know what he's told me. I'm not going to listen to you instead of him. He recognized that this is a temptation. He recognized that this voice was going counter to what his father had said. Jesus sets a wonderful example for us. Unfortunately, Jesus doesn't just set an example for us. If that was all he did, it would be wonderful. It's like, okay, we don't want to follow the example of Adam and Eve. We want to follow the example of Jesus. You know, and make sure we know Scripture, make sure we listen to God, and make sure we, you know, don't listen to competing voices. That would be good. But Jesus is much more than just an example to us. I mean, flip that page over there. Hebrews chapter 1, this is one of the letters in our New Testament. The letter starts with, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The book of Hebrews starts out saying Jesus isn't just this great example. Jesus is the exact representation of God himself, God in the flesh. In fact, I didn't have room to put this in here. I wish I did. But John chapter 1, you might just write that down later. John's gospel in chapter 1, he starts out by saying, you know, we just looked at Genesis, how God creates everything by saying, you know, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. Creates by speaking. John's gospel, he starts at John chapter 1 by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's just this language he's using to talk about Jesus. Because a few verses later, he says, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. God spoke, and the Son is the radiance of God's glory. The voice of God, the Word of God is Jesus. And he's put on flesh, and he's come. God has spoken to us by his Son. He completely represents who God is. He holds all things together. Through Jesus, everything was created. He's much more than just an example. He's God in the flesh. If you've ever wondered, okay, there's all these competing voices, how do I know which one is really God? Well, let me point you to Jesus, okay? Let me point you to Jesus. He's somebody that you know you can trust. You know if you're listening to Jesus, you are hearing the words of God. That's what John later in his gospel, after he starts off John chapter 1, in chapter 14, he has Jesus saying to his disciples, these words I speak aren't just my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. He says, look, the Father's alive in me, and these words that I'm speaking to you, they're not my words. This is the Father. This is God speaking to you through me. And a few verses later, he reassures him. He takes some time. He's talking to him about how he's going to leave, how he's going to die on the cross and rise again. He's going to leave him. But he says, look, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. So look, you don't have to worry. Just because I'm not going to be here to keep on teaching you, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to live within you. We just talked about that a couple months ago for Pentecost, how God poured out his Holy Spirit, that God can be alive in you and in me to teach us, to guide us, to remind us of the things that Jesus has taught us, to remind us of the words of God. God has given all of himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. He has held nothing back out of love for you. And now together, the Father and Jesus, they've given all of themselves to us in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that is alive, that is present with us today. The Spirit of God that whispers to you as you go through your day. I mean, God continues to speak to us in lots of different ways, right? I mean, Hebrews said, in the past, God spoke through the prophets many times, various ways. God speaks to us in all sorts of ways, doesn't he? I mean, I know some of you have told me about, you know, different times where you felt like God talked to you. And I got to say, a lot of them were not. I was sitting in church listening to you preach, Rich, and I felt like God was talking to me. Some of you say that sometimes, but you know, you got stories about I was driving in the car, and I was going down the road, and this thing happened, and all of a sudden, I felt like God just said to me, you know, and you felt like God talked to you as you're driving along in the car. Some of you, it was as you were reading Scripture. You're reading something, and the Holy Spirit reached out and said, this is true. This is for you. This is this promise here in Scripture. This is for you. I'm promising this to you. Some of you were talking to a friend, and you've had this question, and as you were talking to a friend, they said something, and you realized, wow, that's it. And you had this moment of clarity, this breakthrough, and you felt like God spoke to you through that friend. God speaks to us in all sorts of ways. And I know that, you know, some of us, we've talked before about It was the guy, Thomas, Gary Thomas, wrote a book called Sacred Pathways, that we're all wired up differently. Some of us really feel like we connect with God when we're in a church service. Some of us really feel like we connect with God when we're outdoors in nature. Some of us really feel like we connect with God when we're just alone, solitary, and it's just quiet. There's all sorts of different ways that we connect with God. But out of all of these ways, again, let me point you toward Jesus. Let me point you toward the Son. Because all those ways, in all those moments, when you, whether you're out in nature, whether you're in the middle of singing a song, whether you're reading something in Scripture, whether it's a friend, that moment when you feel like God is talking to you, that's God's Holy Spirit reaching out to you. This is how God talks to us in all of these different ways. It's the Spirit of God that makes the Scriptures come alive. So I want us, these next few weeks, to take some time to listen for God speaking to us. Because I believe God wants to speak to you. I believe God has something to say to you about who you are to Him, about who you're to be to other people, about why you're so valuable, about why you matter in the world. I believe God wants to say some things to you about that. I think God wants to say some things to you about how you're to live and the choices that you face every day. I think God wants to speak to you and remind you of what's important so that you can hear His voice amid all the other competing voices, so you'll recognize His voice. So you'll hear Him speak. We're going to talk about that some more, that idea of discerning God's voice and how do I know it's God and not the pizza or whatever. But one verse I want us to, one little passage, one thing that Jesus said that I think will help us here. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to His disciples and He starts to use this metaphor that they're very familiar with, of shepherds and sheep. We're not that familiar with them because most of us don't have anything to do with sheep. And we don't know how they behave or how they respond. But they're very familiar with it. They see this happen all the time. And so Jesus uses this metaphor to talk about who He is and how we relate to Him. He says, the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize His voice and come to Him. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. After He's gathered His own flock, He walks ahead of them, and they follow Him because they know His voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from Him because they don't know His voice. And He uses this to say, look, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good. Other people might try to sneak over the fence or something like that and try to get at you and try to lead you astray. But I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd who loves you so much. I'm gonna lay down my life to protect you, to rescue you from danger, to rescue you from sin. And He says, how this works with sheep is how it works with me. He said, now, I didn't know this. You know, I mean, this is unusual. Like I said, I don't see sheep. But apparently, the way it works, you know, back in those days, they didn't have, like, every shepherd just got his own little farm and his own little sheep pen. They had, like, these communal sheep pens where they would, you know, somebody would go and you could take your sheep there. And I don't know if they would, you know, take their sheep there and let them stay the night, or if they take them there while they go get a burger. I don't know how this worked exactly, but you'd leave your sheep there in the pen. And then when you came to take them out, to go take them and grazing and do all the things that sheep do, you know, the gatekeeper let you in and you'd say, hey, sheep, come on. And you'd call your sheep. And they would follow you because they recognized your voice. Was it in this part? Oh, it's in this passage. I left this verse out. It says something about calling them by name. Oh, yeah, no, it is. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. See, he knows the sheep. He calls them by their names. They follow Him. They recognize His voice. This is the person. Oh, this is the one that I follow. This is the one that leads me out to the pastures. You know, this is my shepherd. And they know that voice, and they respond, and they follow Him. And He doesn't have to, like, you know, put a leash on them and drag them out to eat, like we sometimes have to drag our dogs around. He just calls a sheep, and they follow, and they go. Now, like I mentioned, my dogs, this is the closest thing I have to sheep, is two dogs. And dogs are like that. They recognize your voice after a while. You know, with time, with practice, they learn their name because you call them by that name every time you call them. You know, we had one of our two dogs we got when she was just a few weeks old, and so we had to do some of that training stuff. The other one, she was already, you know, a year old or something like that, and so it was a little trickier with her, but she knows her name now, I think. But, you know, if we call them, for the most part, they come, you know, and you know, we've given them treats, so they associate, oh, when I say, you know, MJ, come, you know, then, oh, I'm supposed to go, you know, because I get a treat. You know, they learned who we are. They've recognized our voices. They'll respond very differently if you walk into the house and talk to them. They might bark at you. Who knows? We didn't train them to do that, but they do sometimes. But they know our voices. They respond to us. I'm told children are similar. We don't have kids, but and I don't want to compare your children to my pets. But I know this is true just in human relationships in general. I know this is true with my parents. You know, if I hear my mom call my name, I'll recognize that, you know, versus one of you calling my name. You know, and some of you have been in a crowd, you know, before, and you parents, you've heard some kids say, "Dad" or "Mom." And you're like, "Oh, wait, that one's mine." You know, I've seen some of you recognize their cry. You know, they're crying in the other room. It's like, "Oh, that one's mine." And you get up and you walk out. You're like, you recognize their voice. And they recognize your voice. You know, I mean, we recognize voices. And this is what Jesus is saying. Look, my sheep know me. They recognize my voice and they respond. I lead them. I call them by name. Jesus knows your name. He knows who you are. He's calling to you. The question is, okay, are we going to respond? Are we going to spend enough time with Jesus, listening to his voice and following him, that we'll recognize his voice, that we'll learn his voice? See, if his voice is just one of 1,000 voices in your life, and you never take time to just listen to him, then he's always just going to be one of 1,000 voices in your life. You hear, does that make sense? You know, if Jesus is just one of all the voices and all the noise, you gotta make time to, like, okay, I need to listen for Jesus. I need to read what Jesus has said. I need to know who Jesus is so that when he speaks, I recognize, oh, this sounds like Jesus. This sounds like the kind of thing Jesus would say to me. Because I've read, because I'm familiar. You know, how do you think it was that Jesus knew, hey, this is what God wants, and this is a competing voice? Because he knew Scripture. He'd read what God had said. He knew what his Father had said to him. He knew the kind of person, the kind of God his Father is. If we're going to recognize Jesus' voice amidst all the noise, all the cacophony of all the different voices, the competing voices calling to us, we're going to have to spend some time listening. We're going to have to spend some time responding and obeying. See, I think the following part of this sheep thing is key. I think the more we respond to God's voice, the more we recognize God's voice. I think that responding to Jesus' call helps us to recognize Jesus' voice. You know, unfortunately, sometimes when we hear from God, we don't respond. Sometimes we hear God speaking and we just kind of move on. And maybe we say, "Oh, that was deep. You know, oh, I feel like God said something to me here." And I know some of you have said that to me before. I love it when I hear that you guys say after a service or something, you're like, "You know what, thanks. That really felt like God was speaking right to me. When you said, you know, X, Y, Z, that was exactly what I needed to hear this morning. Or I'm so glad that you picked," and usually it has to do with the scripture that we're looking at. It's not something creative I came up with. "You know, I'm so glad that you read that scripture today because I needed to hear that today." You know, and I love it when God lines that up and leads me to say the same thing and leads, you know, you're here and you need to hear it. But you know, we can walk away from those moments and not do anything with it. I love even more when you come to me the next week and say, you know, "I remember when I came last week and told you, well, here's what I did as a result. You know, I responded, I acted on what God said to me, and now here's what's happening. You know, he's leading me well, he's leading me, I'm following the shepherd, I'm following my Lord, I'm being his disciple." We've talked about that. It's what it means to be a Christian is to pattern your life after Jesus and to listen to him, and what he says is what we do. How many of you have played Simon Says at some point in your life? Simon didn't say raise your hand. What are you doing? No, I'm just kidding. We've played Simon Says here before as an illustration. But, you know, I mean, with Simon Says, you know, Simon Says jump on one foot and you jump on one foot. You know, Simon Says, you know, stand on both feet, you stand on both feet. For some reason with Jesus Says, we have this tendency to, like, you know, Jesus says to do this and we think, "Ah, yes, okay. Jesus said that. Okay, I'm gonna memorize that, you know, and I'm going to study that." But we never get around to doing it. I don't know why that is. I don't know why we think it's so different when Jesus, the one that we say is our Lord, when Jesus, the one who has the words of life, the one who speaks to us from the Father's own words, the one that represents God on earth, God in flesh, when Jesus speaks, for some reason we might listen, but we don't do anything with it. Imagine for a second, parents, that your kid's room needed cleaned up, and you said to him, "Hey, go clean your room." And they go, they leave, and an hour later they come back, and they say, "Dad, I memorized what you told me. Clean your room. You know, I've got it. I'm not going to forget that. You know, I wrote it down on a card, and I said it to myself until I could say it again, until I could say it without looking. I've memorized, clean your room. You know, in fact, I learned how to say that in the Greek. Clean your, I learned how to say this. You know, I've been studying what you said. In fact, I'm having some friends over later. We're going to get together and we're going to talk about, boy, what would life be like if we all just did, you know, if we all just cleaned our rooms, you know. And we're going to talk about how wonderful life would be. You see how silly that is, but boy, don't we do that sometimes with what God says to us. God tells us to do something in his word, and maybe even he goes beyond that, and by his Holy Spirit, he points his finger right into your heart, and you know this is God speaking. This isn't just something I'm reading in this ancient book, but this is God speaking to me. Boy, if we walk away from that and don't do it, don't do anything, don't respond beyond just saying, oh, this is important, this is good, well, wouldn't life be better if we would all do this? He's looking for people to follow him. He's looking for sheep to follow him. He's the shepherd. He wants disciples, people who will follow him, who will learn from him, who will learn to follow his voice. I even wonder if perhaps if you've been struggling with hearing from God, maybe it's just a need to stop and listen. Maybe it's a need to just learn his voice. Maybe it's a need to read some more scripture and to find, okay, this is, oh, so that's God speaking. Okay, I understand now. I'm recognizing his voice a little better. I sometimes think, too, if we get into a habit of hearing it and just not doing anything with it, I think maybe we hear him less and less. Because I don't know if it's that we fail to recognize his voice or if he starts saying, well, if you're not listening, or if you're not going to do something with it, I'll find somebody who is going to do something with it. I don't know. But I do believe that that our responding to God's voice helps us to recognize his voice. So I want us to spend a little time listening this morning. We barely got time. I've got a psalm here, Psalm 62, and I'm going to read this. And can you come on up, Scott? Scott's going to just play a little bit here. I'm going to read this, and we're just going to take a minute to listen for God speaking to us today, okay? Because I do believe that God wants to speak to each one of us. And this is from one of the psalms. My guess is that in these 7 or 8 verses, that there is something that God would say to you today. Maybe God's already said something. You've jotted yourself a note. Hopefully that doesn't mean you're going to walk away and forget it. Hopefully you're going to do something with it. But I'm just going to read this, and we're just going to sit silently for about a minute. Just an opportunity for you to talk with God, to listen for God, to say, God, is there something in this that you want me to hear? Is there something in this that you want to say to me? Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 62. I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. From the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in his sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you judge all people according to what they have done. Let's listen. Thank you. God, thank you for your spirit that speaks to us. I know what you're hitting me with there in that psalm, reminding me that what matters, what you're going to judge us on, is what we do. And it's not enough just to say, yep, that's right, I ought to do that. I ought to listen for God. I ought to spend time reading the Bible. I ought to spend time quieting the noise and listening for his voice. God, what matters is if we put this into practice. So God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to do something with this. Help us to listen for your voice today, this week, this month of July, as we dig into this, God, as we learn more about how to do this better. God, I pray that you would help us to put it into practice, to wait quietly before you, to listen for you speaking to us. Thank you, God, that you have spoken to us so clearly in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taken what you've wanted us to know, and he's boiled it down. He's given it to us in a way that we can understand. Thank you, God. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to us, not just as an example, but God, he has rescued us. He has shown us the way out of sin, the way out of guilt and shame. Thank you, God, that when we were trapped in sin, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sin on himself. And by his death and resurrection, he broke the power of sin and death and set us free. Thank you, God, that today we can be forgiven. Today we can be embraced by you as your sons and daughters, loved by you. Today you can pour out your Holy Spirit to guide us, to speak to us, to remind us, to encourage us. Thank you, God, that you call us by name and you lead us well. Help us to listen. Help us to follow. Thank you that we have this opportunity this morning to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus Christ and to be reminded of that great sacrifice he made on our behalf. God, we offer you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, that you would help us not just to have some nice religious ritual with these elements, but that God, that we might meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here in his body and his blood. Pour out your Spirit, God, that we might be the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by his blood. Continue to change us from the inside out as we listen for you, as we allow your grace and your love to transform us. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The rest of the band's going to come and join Scott up there. They're going to lead us in a song as we celebrate communion. And since this is the first Sunday of the month, we have our kids rejoining us here. If your kids have been in the back, they're coming to join you. And we let you as parents decide if you want them to participate in communion. This is open to all of us, however young, however old, whatever your background has been. If today you're saying yes to Jesus Christ, if today you're saying, okay, God, I need your mercy and your grace. I need your forgiveness. Today I need your voice speaking to me. If today you're saying yes to him, then you're invited to come. I'm going to be up here with a basket of bread and a cup with grape juice. And as the band leads us in a song, you're invited to come, take bread, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seat. And then I'll just have one final word, and we'll be on our way. So let's celebrate the love that God has shown us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. the Word of God made flesh. Thank you. Continue to speak to us. Continue to guide us. Continue to call us by name. And give us the courage, God, to follow, to respond, to say yes. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you'll be back this next week, because I'm going to teach you a little tool of what to do when you feel like God has said something. How do we respond? How do we begin to put that into practice? How do we involve other people in that conversation? And because we're talking about this the next few weeks, if you have a question, if you have something that you've found that's really helpful for you, maybe in listening to God's voice, write me a note on a welcome card, shoot me an email. I'll try to work in answers to your questions over these next few weeks. Did you have something there? Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were like raising your hand. Okay. Go in peace.